Karima Brown on 702.
It's just gone 8:30. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, the African National Congress has welcomed the president's changes in his cabinet, saying it shows his commitment to the renewal of the country. President Cyril Ramaphosa has made two ministerial changes and has appointed one new minister to his cabinet. Ramaphosa made the announcement earlier this afternoon at the Union Buildings in Pretoria. The changes were brought about by the passing of Environmental Minister Edna Molewa, and of course the resignation last week of the former Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba. Before we speak to our expert political analyst panel, Lukona Mguni as well as Vugani Mde, let's take a quick listen to the President's announcement before I look at some of the drivers of these decisions.
I've decided to make the following appointments. Minister of Home Affairs will now be Dr. Siyabonga Gcwele. Minister of Environmental Affairs will now be Ms. Nomvula Mukonyane. And Minister of Communications will be Ms. Stella Ndabeni Abrahams. Now, I've also decided to merge the Ministries of Communications and Telecommunications and Postal Services into a single ministry under the new Minister of Telecommunications and Communications, Minister Stella Ndabeni Abrahams. This move is going to ensure that we have better alignment and coordination of matters that are critical to the future of our economy, particularly in the context of the fourth industrial revolution.
That was, of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa giving the justification for the changes to the executive. Let me start with you, Vugani Mde, and welcome you to the program. Good evening. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show.
Good evening, Karima. Thank you very much.
And, of course, Lukona Mguni, long time no see, my friend. It's good to have you back on the show.
Always a pleasure, Karima. In my language, we say the grass is too tall in Mayinde. So you come see me all the time, and I'm a very man.
I know, and you must be spread all over the show. So before we go to the president's rationale, you both heard my conversation with Kusela Diko. We've seen that the president is planning to oppose the DA's court application to set aside his right to hire and fire. Let's start from that prerogative. And of course, I argued that he has the right to hire and fire, but of course, he has to do that within constitutional prescripts. And of course, he has to, pass the rationality test. Do you think that he is going to have a case? Let me start with you, Lukona.
Well, Karima, in South Africa, the issue of separation of powers is actually a very, I don't know if I would say, sometimes I say it's romanticized because I think it's overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some instances I say, well, it's rightfully protected so that there's no encroachment or what some would say, which even the Chief Justice did in the minority judgment on Section 89, I think.
Yes.
Say, you know, there's a bit of judicial overreach here, okay, classic casebook example. So I think on that issue, if you argue the legality of separation of powers, yes, the president must, within all that is placed before him, apply himself or herself in a particular manner. And of course, the issue of ministerial appointments is a serious one. So I think what is missing in the discussion, so while I heard Kusela's argument, what is missing in the discussion is whether or not someone like Batabile Dlamini, who's been fouled with all these things, is the rightful person to remain in cabinet. And when the president was presented with an opportunity to make changes in his cabinet, which was today, why does he then still continue to keep a Batabile Dlamini there? I think the public does want some rationalization of it. I think it's well and good for the public to expect accountability from the president to say, why do you keep this one there and take out so-and-so? So in that instance, I think the discussion is overly focusing on legality. And that's the problem here in South Africa. And I think there's quite consensus among many observers of politics that people are looking for legal loopholes to political problems or political loopholes to legal problems.
All right,
and
let me.
How these politicians survive.
Absolutely. Let me bring Vugani Mde in. Vugani, of course, Lukona is correct when he says that when one arm of government fails, they seek to try and get answers from another. And to give the Constitutional Court its due, it has resisted the temptation to try and prescribe to politicians what it should and shouldn't do. But if one looks at the president's decision to oppose the issue of on principle that he has the right to hire and fire, does it hold water considering that other courts, including the Constitutional Court, has found someone like Ms. Batabile Dlamini unfit?
Look, the law and the judiciary are not irrelevant when it comes to this question. Mm. So rationality, legal principles such as rationality and reasonableness are still provide the litmus test for executive action by the president and by the state generally. However, I do think that's the problem that the DA might have in an action such as the one they are taking, is that how do you apply the rationality and reasonableness test? How do you conclude, what criteria do you use to conclude that the president's actions are not rational? Mm. Because rational does not mean morally defensible.
Yes.
So the president could say that I keep Batabile Dlamini in my cabinet because there are political considerations around her position. The president is keeping Batabile, for instance, because she is the president of the ANC Women's League, and that is an important constituency that the president cannot afford to alienate. If I alienate this particular constituency, I might not have a presidency to speak of tomorrow. That's a rational decision, and viewed dispassionately, it's a reasonable decision. It's a reasonable argument to make. It may not be morally pretty. The likes of us may not like it. The chattering classes may not like it. The media may not like it. A lot of South Africans may not like it. But that does not render it
irrational.
The legal arguments irrational.
All right, let's leave that. There's a lot that we can still discuss on that. But of course, there are other issues that we need to look at. One of which, of course, is the fact that Ms. Stella Ndabeni Abrams's political star has risen considerably. She is a former deputy minister of communications. She was a deputy to Faith Mutambi. They had a very public fallout. And then, of course, she became the deputy to Siyabonga Gcwele, who's now the Minister of Home Affairs. She is, in the new year, going to be overseeing what the president called the merging of both telecoms as well as communications. And, of course, this is a huge portfolio with incredible implications for our economy, particularly if one looks at the issue of IT innovation, the fourth industrial revolution. Lukona, let me start with you. Has Stella Ndabeni Abrams now become a very, very powerful woman, or is she going to be geared and directed by a president who historically comes from a business that has its roots in telecoms?
Kadaba, I just want to leave a hanging thought on Vugani's point, then answer you.
Yes.
I do not know whether Vugani is making a rationality test argument or a political expediency, and whether political expediency can be used as a departure for rationality in terms of remaining in power, because political expediency that is toxic for power cannot actually be allowed to pass the constitutional test. But let me leave that as a thought.
Okay.
Stella Ndabeni, of course, I mean, Hester has been rising for some time, and for whatever good reason that people stars rise for within the ANC. You know, she's been deputy minister since 2011, thereabout. So she's been associated or close enough to power since then. Will the president trust her enough in a portfolio that is highly contested with business interests, and some of those business interests quite very closely related to the president, like your next pass, who want to direct policy formulations on issues of analog to digital migration and issuing of spectrum and all of that. Does she have the political gravitas and respectability. So yes, I mean, she's young in terms of ANC speak. She's 41 thereabout, and then she assumes this ministry, and it's important to see such a younger face in a critical role. I'm not too sure, Karima, about her temperament for the portfolio. You'll know her fallout with Winnie Madikizela-Mandela, 2012. I was not even impressed when she became spokesperson of the Eastern Cape and she was on the Justice Malala Factor show not too long ago. So her temperament for that portfolio and the political challenges that it entails, plus, Karima, going into an election year, with the SABC firmly always on the eyes of that ministry.
Yes.
And whether or not she will serve there doing the political party's bidding, or she will go into that ministry doing the public's bidding into making sure that the SABC is a public broadcaster, not a state broadcaster. So there are serious hurdles to jump.
Mm.
And of course, she wants to cement her allegiance to President Cyril Ramaphosa, because not too long ago, Stella was actually quite a Zuma person.
Mm.
And she needs to prove that she has made this turnaround and she will not be taken advantage of by people who still want to do a fight-back campaign on the current sitting president. So a massive task on her. Does she have the temperament for it? I think the test of time will actually tell that.
Vugani, you and I both know the sector very well, partly because we come from it. I was at the SABC myself. You've been working in telecommunications in different capacities, advising clients and so on. Does Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams have, first of all, the technical capacity to understand the magnitude of a merged department like this? And does she have the political gravitas to be able to imprint herself on this position?
Okay, Karima, let me also beg your indulgence for a moment. And just say that on the issue of rationality that Lukona was talking about, the simple point that I'm trying to make is that political expediency is ugly, but it is not intrinsically irrational. And I think that is the legal hurdle that the DA's case will face in court. But obviously, this will be decided by lawyers and juries. And I, for one, am looking forward to see how the court decides the matter. Now, on the issue of the...
Yes, I was just going to say the two of you are slightly out of order, because I did say there's lots of stuff we can discuss on this matter. And I'm already getting SMSs from people who have a vested interest in the Lord saying, you know what, these issues are about. So this is a conversation that's going to go on, and rightfully so, it must go on. We must look at the implications of what rationality is about and whether political expediency can indeed be a requirement to meet rationality. So let's say the jury's out on that. You two have different positions.
Sure.
Let's come back to Ms. Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams and her massive task. We are behind on digital migration. We are behind on so many issues. Vugani, you know better than me. Does she have what it takes, or is she going to be told what to do by people who know a little bit more than she, because they are players in this industry?
Look, to answer the question bluntly, no, I don't think that she's going to tolerate being told what to do. I don't think President Ramaphosa is going to get the opportunity to impose himself, either because he has lingering business interests in the ICT sector or not. I think that this is somebody who has been in this space, first as Deputy Minister of Communications and later as Deputy Minister of Telecoms and Posts. I think she has had enough opportunity to learn the ropes, as all politicians do when they are appointed to these portfolios. Politicians aren't appointed because they are technical or sector experts. I think she has demonstrated, particularly during her time at Posts and Telecommunications, since March, I think, of last year, that she can actually sink her teeth into the portfolio.
Mm.
She has demonstrated a passion for particularly for the fourth industrial revolution, how this country may acquire 4IR skills, and how we may bring young people into the conversation about the fourth industrial revolution. And in fact, I think that that is probably why, as one of the reasons, main reasons why President Ramaphosa favored her when looking around to see who could take over this this portfolio. I mean, at one point, she christened herself the CIC of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And I think the president was probably looking for that kind of
innovation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to return to this portfolio with specific emphasis on the public broadcaster, the current commissions of inquiry that is going on there, and of course the fight over how the broadcaster is going to be run in the upcoming elections.
On 702.
It is coming up for 12 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. I'm in conversation with two political analysts, Vugani Mde and Lukona Mguni, and we're looking at the rationale behind the changes made by President Ramaphosa at around just shortly after 3 o'clock this afternoon. And one of the ministers, of course, that have become quite powerful in the sense that two ministries are going to be merged, even though it is going to be run separately until after the elections in 2019, is of course Ms. Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams. And my two analysts have different views about her strengths and her capacity around whether she can handle this important portfolio. As you both know, she fell out with Ms. Faith Mutambi in quite a public way in the middle of a very difficult factional battle that was playing itself out in the African National Congress. And she was, of course, also instrumental in ensuring that the Eastern Cape Conference comes out backing Cyril Ramaphosa. She is now going to be responsible for the South African Broadcasting Corporation. She was the deputy when Faith Mutambi was there, and when, of course, all the things that was ventilated in the cabinet, in the parliamentary ad hoc committee process was happening. She was the deputy. We don't know exactly what role she played. She didn't really feature that well. But the SABC is contested terrain. They've got two commissions of inquiry, one into sexual allegations of sexual favours for job, the other one in terms of whether there was political interference at the SABC at the behest of people like the minister then at the time, and of course also Mr. Claudio Mutswaneng. What do you think Ms. Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams' attitude, Lukona, is going to be to managing the ways in which the ANC have consistently, since the time of Thabo Mbeki, tried to manipulate what happens at the SABC?
Yeah, Karima, the SABC has been.
Sorry, Lukona, there's just something wrong with your line. We're going to try and establish a better connection. Vugani, how do you think Ms. Ndabeni-Abrahams will manage the various interests that are always vested from the ruling party in the SABC, particularly as we're going to an election?
Look, we can only speculate when we attempt to answer that question. The truth is that none of us can know how she's going to react to the various affectional and still continuing affectional interests of people in the ANC in control of the SABC. I do think, however, that her portfolio, technically,
yes,
and the brief that she would have got from President Ramaphosa will probably steer clear of the of broadcast policy and particularly news policy at the SABC, and she will be looking rather at the sort of convergence, the environment of communications convergence that we are getting right now with the fourth industrial revolution and the convergence of technologies, and how broadcast fits into that, how there's a sort of a seamless convergence between broadcast on the one hand and ICT on the other.
Mm.
And South Africa has, there will be a lot on her plate around that, even before she even considers the editorial stance of the SABC.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we should note that she as a young person who comes from the ANC Youth League, she comes from a generation of people in the ANC that has adopted a slightly different and more nuanced approach to communications and to how the media is to be engaged in what the ANC calls the battle of ideas. And I think that she will probably be keen, and again, I must emphasize this is speculation on my part, she will be keen to avoid some of the crude things that have been done in the past by communications ministers and by other power brokers in the SABC, in the ANC, to try and use the SABC in a very crude and blunt way as a propaganda tool.
Okay.
Because that has been demonstrated to not work.
Okay, it hasn't stopped them though from doing precisely that. Lukhona Mguni, are you as sanguine as Vugani is?
Well, look, Karima, there are now a number of safeguards in place. You'll remember that the SABC board's independence had to be affirmed by a court decision earlier this year that, you know, the minister couldn't just want to express themselves on certain things that the board has jurisdiction and fiduciary duty over to make decisions. So that's very important, and it's a pity that we've really had to use courts as safeguards to political action over the number of years. So there is that. So I do think there is appreciation by those that are aligned to Cyril Ramaphosa and want to see him succeed that they must act and conduct themselves in a particular way. That, funny enough, unfortunately, Karima, you say we are out of order. But going back to Vugani's point earlier, that ways that are morally acceptable to the public in terms of its agenda of public morality.
Okay.
So that's what they are going to do. And I think Stella Ndabeni has to do that, prove herself, and then make it justifiable for her to be appointed again after elections next year.
Mm-hmm. One of the big things, of course, is that the SABC executive told Parliament about 3 days ago that by February next year, they will literally run out of money. They won't be able to pay their bills. They are meant to come up with a turnaround strategy. And one of it is, of course, the fact that they are going to be involved in retrenchments. And just before Ms. Mokonyane was removed and put into environmental affairs, she had thrown her weight behind the trade union, saying that they were going to make a case for people to not be retrenched. Do you think that Ms. Ndabeni is going to get involved as granularly as all that, Vugani?
You know what, Karima, you've actually put your finger on the pulse of the issues at the SABC. It is more likely that Stella Ndabeni is going to find herself dealing with where the SABC is concerned. What will occupy her more than the editorial stance and policies of the SABC is actually the financial and operational morass that the broadcaster finds itself in. And I think that that is the ground in which she will have to prove herself.
Mm.
First of all, she must balance the need to get the public broadcaster right, because nobody thinks that we don't need the SABC, at least nobody on the mainstream. And she must balance getting it right with protecting the fiscus and ensuring that we don't continue to advance guarantees and bailouts to failing companies such as the SABC. In a way, it's already started. The process has already started. A new board is in place, and it's begun the work of turning the corporation around. A new management is busy being put in place painstakingly, and also has the responsibility of turning around the SABC.
All right, gentlemen, we are running out of time. That's because you were undisciplined and went back to your issues of legality and rationality. This is an ongoing debate. I'm sure we're going to have you back on the station. The less said about the fitness of Nomvula Mokonyane to actually run environmental affairs, the better. So we leave it at that. We're going to take a short break.